Clement Smalka.
And where were you born, Clement?
Colorado.
How long ago?
That's pretty near 64 years ago.
And I understand you make sleds now. How did you learn to make sleds?
Well, I learned that from my dad.
What was his name?
Thomas Smalka.
And how did he learn?
He learned that from his father, too.
How did he teach you how to make sleds?
Well, I watch him when he make the sleds, when he bent them, and when he put them together. I sit near him and watch him. That's how I learned.
Can you describe to me how you make a sled from the time you cut down the trees on up to the finished sled?
Well, you have to split them in half.
Let's go back a little bit. How do you pick out the birch to cut?
Oh, you pick out them ones that got a kind of a red bark. That's a good birch. And some of them got kind of white bark. Well, those ones, they break right off when you bend them. They just break off. You get them ones with a red bark, they wouldn't break.
Any particular size of tree?
Oh, it doesn't matter what size, as long as it's straight tree.
How far do you have to go to get that kind of birch?
Well, someplace about a mile, someplace about 2 miles. But in here, you can go about just 2 miles, right up here by the wood yard. I cut them birch in one place, but big as this place, this house. There are three of them.
About 10 by 14?
Yeah. I was walking on the trail and I spot them. I saw them standing over there. I went there and there were three of them there. So I knocked three of them down.
Is there any time of year that it's best to cut the birch?
Well, it's better to cut them in the spring, you know, when they're when the water is running out of it. I never tried it, but I heard that that's the best kind of birch you can get when they dry with that, you know, the stuff on it, you know.
That sap?
Yeah. You say it's just like hickory, but I never tried. I figured to try it. I could have made that sled long ago, but I couldn't get birds. I had to pay somebody else to haul it in, you know. Then I had a lot of guys want sleigh, but it's pretty hard.
Yeah, after you cut the birch, what do you do?
Oh, as long as you got the birch, it don't take long to make sled. I got two more up here. This one out there, that's enough for this whole sled.
So one big piece of birch can make like a big freight sled?
Well, yeah, a little sled about that big, you know.
About, what, 4.5 feet?
About that big would be good enough. Make a whole sled.
How long is that birch?
This one out there?
Uh-huh.
This one out there is about 11 foot.
And how big around?
It's about 10 inches in diameter. The only ones that got to be longer is those runners. The one I got out there is a little bit shorter, because it'll be about that much shorter than runners.
What, 2 feet shorter?
Yeah. It'll be just the same as the slats, too. The same length. The top rail and the slats, they're all the same size.
Not that for you. Okay, once you get the birch here, how do you make it into the pieces of wood to be used for the different parts of the sled?
Would you, like this one, you've got to measure it. Figure how long it's going to be, the stanchings. Well, the cross piece is the main thing, you know, you got to cut them the right length. Like if you want to make it 20 inch wide or 21, then you got to cut it according to that.
What do you use to cut the wood?
Axe and saw.
And then how do you make it squared up?
Well, just hew it down. You know, and you can't chop too deep on it too, you know, because if you chop too deep, then they crack, you know. That way they break easy. When they bounce around, you know, when it's cold weather, they break off. Then.
Do you have to wait a while between when you cut the birch and when you cut it into the pieces for the sled?
Well, like the stancing, sure, it'll take about the whole day because your hands get tired, you know, with the axe. And you have to take rest. Well, it took a whole day, like cut them and split them in half, you know.
What I meant was, do you have to season the birch at all after it's cut, before you cut it into the pieces, or can you just...
No. Because if you let it dry, you know, before you split them, after you split them, you'll have to steam it. But if you bend it while it's green, then you don't have to steam it. You
know. What do you do after you have the pieces cut up for the sled?
Dry them.
Where do you dry them?
The way I'm doing right now, I'm going to hew it down to the size I want it. Like for stancing, cross piece, they have to be so big. You know. So when you plane it, you don't have to plane too much. Just plane it off a little bit, then it's level, you know.
So then you take the pieces in the house to dry?
Yeah. See, this here is no good, see. It's good for that on the top. Now I have to use this bottom. I have to use the bottom.
Because of the split?
Yeah. Or I was thinking to use this for cross piece instead of stancing. Because down it's got to be bigger down here and narrow up here. You know.
It's got to be narrower
kinda
at the top?
Kind of tapered. See? It'd be about that wide.
About inch and a half, maybe?
Yeah. And down here, that's about the right size.
So the top?
The top got to be smaller than the bottom. Because, that's the way you make sleigh. Because you cannot make it all even, all the way up, you know. It'll look funny. It'd be too wide and too heavy, too.
How long do you dry the pieces in the house, then, before you do anything further on the sled?
Well, they take about 6 to 7 days. It will dry. That and there, it'll dry in about 4 days.
Those runners.
Near the stove there. That back end there don't have to be real dry. Only out there where it's bended. It's got to be real dry, you know, so they don't flatten out. You know. Because if I take it off right now, it'll just flatten right out.
How did you bend those boards into that shape to be runners?
You mean the...
That front part. Did you have to wet the wood at all to get it into the frame?
No.
Do you have to kind of put it in there slowly so it doesn't break, or can you just kind of climb in there?
Uh-huh. That's a birch, one I use for cross piece out there, the one that hold the runners. Because, if you use a spruce tree, it'll break off.
From the pressure?
Yeah. Or that birch could take it, though.
And how long do the runners have to stay in the form to be fully bent?
Oh, you mean when you bend it?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as it toss out, you know. You can feel it, you know, you feel the birch, and when it's warm, then it's ready for the bend.
And then it'll stay in that frame for a few days now?
Yeah, that's, let's say, about 3 days more before I take it off.
And you put it in yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday I did.
Did you make the form that you're bending the runners on?
Well, somebody else made that. If I made it, it would be different. It's a good bender, but that front end is kind of short. That's why I let it stick way up. You know. Then I had to put stick behind that cross piece in order to have a nice bend, you know. Like.
After the runners are ready and bent, what do you do next?
Just plane it down a little bit, you know, get the rough stuff off, and then you mark every place where the stanchion is going to be. Be about that far apart, about 2 feet apart. It's got to be slanting up like that, you know.
Like a 30-degree angle or so?
Yeah, and the furthest one back, the longest one, the back end of the stanchion, it's got to be straight up. Straight up and down.
How do you attach the stanchions?
You measure it, you know. Sometimes, some guys do use, they make something like pattern, you know, out of some paper, cardboard. And that way, they get it all even, you know, all the. Like if they want to cut it in an angle there, they mark it with that thing, you know. Then just cut them off. That way you don't have to measure it all the time. You know.
And then do you nail the stanchions on, or do you tie them on, or what?
We use wooden picks. You know, we drill a hole right through it and use some of the striped birch, you know, the ones you don't use. You make a pin and you drive it through, you know. We use nails too, but nails, it'll rot the sleigh, you know, down around where the stanchion goes into the wood. It rot right away. But if you use a wooden pick, then it'll stay a long time.
And then do you wrap rawhide or twine or something around?
Twine, yeah. Well, like nowadays, you know, the sleigh you make, you got to make it pretty heavy because it bounces around too hard around that snow machine. You know. That's how they break the sled right away. The only best thing they can use, like for wood, is toboggan, you know, like the one they're using. But if you're going to use a sled for wood, you got to have it pretty strong. Because it'll break in no time. Last year I made sled to buck alongside that caster, all busted. I built it pretty heavy too. Austin was using it for wood, you know. Well, nothing to last with him anyway.
When you put the twine on, do you treat the twine in any way so it won't rot?
No, it wouldn't rot. If you want to, you could fix it like you could put linseed oil on it too. And that way it'll never untie or it'll never get loose. Once you put it on tight, it stays. Sometimes I use those baling wire, those soft wire. I use that too. It's really the best though. It'll never get loose, I think.
Does it rust at all though?
No, it don't.
How do you make the brush bow?
You gotta make something for it, like this. If I wanna make it 21 inches wide, the one I wanna make is gonna be 20 inches wide, see. That way, if I put the brush ball on the back, it'll fit the sleigh.
Do you have to bend it on a form too, or just?
Yeah. Yeah. Just one narrow one over around the smokehouse, but that one is too narrow. It's good for a little sleighing.
How long do you have to keep the brush bow piece on the form?
Oh, about a couple, 3 days, it'll dry. Right up there, it'll dry in no time.
Oh, the stove, huh?
Yeah, those narrow birch, you know, they dry quick.
Do you ever make a brush bow where you take pieces of willow and wrap them?
No. No, I didn't.
After you've got your sled finished, do you treat it in any way or just leave the wood the way it is?
Well, some guys, they paint it, you know, regular paint. Some they use linseed oil. It's better to use like linseed oil to get it hot, you know, and then paint the sleigh with it. That way it'll last a long time. It'll last a long time. Like, if I want to make a brush bow for in front, I could use that stove.
That old barrel
bent,
stove?
Yeah. And bent that birch around it.
And then, what, tie it on somehow so it doesn't come undone?
Tie it onto the bow piece. You know. And then you have to bolt it way back on the next first dancing. That way it'll never get loose. If it gets off and I hit a stick, it'll bounce back. You know.
Do you ever put anything on the bottom of the runners?
No. Like that one there, that birds, I wouldn't play in the bottom. I'll just let it go the way it is. It'll wear out and it'll be slippery. It won't get, you know, wear down even.
So you leave it with that little bit of bow kind of to it, that little bit of roundness.
Some guys, they bent those birds inside out too. But that's pretty hard. You've got to have a good birds to do that. With straight grain and no knots on it. They say that's really the best too. But you don't have to do that too. If you get a good birch like that, then you don't have to bend it inside out. You know.
How long do you figure it takes you to make a sled from when you first start to when you're finished?
Well, if I start working and start putting it together, it'll take about 2.5 days. That's all. After everything dry, you know.
And how many sleds do you figure you've made in your life?
Oh, last winter alone, I made 4. Yeah. It's the one I was talking about, that sled back there alongside the caster. I thought it'll never break. It's all busted. The trouble is, those guys, if something break on there, they never fix it right away, you know. They let it go till it gets worse. And pretty soon, break all to pieces, you know. A big sled like that, it's easier to build than to a little sleigh, small one. Because a little one, you have to plane the birds down, you know, pretty narrow. Once you get used to building a big sled like that, it's hard.
So you'd rather make freight sleds?
Well, I could try and make a little sleigh or bigger one. Take a little longer, though, than the big one. Because you have to get them down so far, you know. And It's quite a bit different than a bigger sled.
Do you have any advice you'd give to anybody who wanted to learn to make sleds?
Well, if they want to learn, they could stand around and watch, you know. Stand around and watch. It's just like trapping to make a sled and stuff like that, you know. Once you learn how to trap, you know how to trap. Once you've built a sled, and you just about know what to do.
Thanks, Clement.
So I was working over here at housing, working for Merlin.
You've been trapping all the previous years, though?
Yeah. And I didn't trap last year. Well, this fall, though, I trapped a little bit. I went out here about 5 miles. I got 16 marten.
What did you do with those marten, then?
Sold it.
Did you trap as a young man?
What's that?
Did you trap as a young man?
Yeah.
What kinds of animals?
All kinds, like otter, wolverine, lynx, fox, mink, marten, beaver. Took a long time before learning how to catch those beavers.
Could you describe how to trap a beaver?
Oh, the snare is the best nowadays.
How do you find where to set the snare?
Oh, put them on both sides, those feet pile. Put them on both sides because they swim around the feet pile all the time. Trap, you could use trap too, like a tie it on a stick. Well, the way I do it is, I tie the bait on the spring, you know, those ball traps. That way, when he gets a hold of that thing, you know, he gets caught. Because when he gets way up there in the hole there, it's something like, you know, those things they do, like those black fish. Mm-hmm. You see a hole up there, they come up, you know. They're curious, you know. They go up in the hole and they go like that, you know. That's how they get caught. Sometimes they monkey around the bait too, you know, the bait you put in. But sometimes they don't go for it. But they just curious, you know. They, when they see a hole up there, you know, they go up like that. You know.
What's the most beaver you figure you ever trapped in a year?
Well, one winter, the most I caught was 40. That's the most.
What year was that?
Oh, that's back about 15 years ago. Because there was a lot of beaver house where I was then.
Where were you then?
Over what they call Lonesome River. That's about 70 miles from here.
From Caltech?
Out.
Did you, when you went trapping, did you used to stay out all winter while you were trapping?
Well, the longest is a month and a half I stayed out.
Another question about the beaver. Which do you think is better, the snares or the traps?
Well, now I think snares are the best.
How come?
Because it's a less work, you know, and like if you have to carry it, you know, those traps is pretty heavy. You carry about 5, you salute.
What number traps do you use for beaver?
Number four. Snares are, I think, is the best now. Don't take long to put them in.
Use metal snares?
Yeah. Yes. One right.
Oh, heavy snares, huh?
That's the one we use.
And it's got like a lock on it so that when the beaver gets in there, it'll
lock on him. Once it gets tight, that thing will never come back.
Did you ever make snares for beaver?
I did one time, but I lost a beaver in it. I didn't know how to fix it, I guess. Caught beaver in it, and then he twisted all up, and pretty soon the loop come off. You know. It got away.
What did you make the snare out of?
It's out of those things they call link snares. It's one bigger than that, only soft, kind of soft work.
How do you set the snare? Do you have to chop the hole in around the feeding place and get it down in there?
Oh, yeah. Cut a hole about that big.
About a foot?
A square, yeah. Sometimes you make it about that long.
2 feet?
About that wide.
About 6 inches?
The snare's down, you know. Put the bait right in the middle.
What's the best kind of bait?
Well, we generally use cottonwood. About the best. Some places in them lakes, you know, no matter what kind of bait you put in, they just go for it. Because in the creeks here, their feed pile never gets sour. Not as much as the ones in the lakes, you know, because it's steady water, no water is still, you know. And, the feed pile gets sour. You know. When they see some fresh bait, they go after it right away. You catch the waters too around them beaver houses in beaver snares. Well, it does. You see, like I say, when they see a hole up there, you know, they go up there and they go up in the hole like that. But they get caught.
He's going to dive up?
Yeah. But they're curious.
Does it happen very often that you get an otter in a beaver snare?
Well, like you trap beaver in them lakes, look, if there's otter around there, you'll catch them. Because they always come around beaver houses, you know. They kill them young ones, kill them small beaver. Sometimes the beaver kill them too. Because once they get a bite of them, you know, they make a big hole. I saw an otter one time, right on the beach. You just make it to the beach. Died in there. But I didn't take it, it was rotten. I saw it in there. Geez, a big cut right down both sides. And there was two big beavers swimming around there. I think he killed the little ones, because there was no little ones in there. Only them big ones. Then he was going to kill the big one too, I think, and the big one killed him. I just cut up that otter. Just went right to the beach and just curled up, died, you know, right there.
Did you used to go with your father when you went beaver trapping?
No. They never used to trap beaver that time when I started. I used to trap mink with him. And after I got big enough, he told me to go alone. So one time, he showed me how to set trap. He told me what to do. So I was going to set a mink trap. Now he told me to leave it over that way a little bit. No, pretty soon he'd grab my hand. He'd get mad, you know. He grabbed my hand, he pushed it over this, right there, he told me. Well, then after that, I know how to set trap. And a year after that, he told me to go trap alone. So I started that. That's what I learned.
Did you, when you went trapping, did you use dogs?
Yeah, we used dogs. I mean, to move to camp, you know, there and there. But when you go out with the traps, then you have to walk.